Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have so many attributes, so many characteristics, so many different names, that you are always here for us. Lord, that you are holy, that you are wonderful, that you are worthy. We ask that you just continue to watch over us, give us strength, give us courage, give us ears to hear. Lord, we just ask you, watch over Pastor Nick and continue to speak through him and help him to guide us through this next year. That today we just have a fire lit underneath us and we just burn to learn more about you, to learn more how to be like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may have a seat, and kids, at this time, you can head on out those doors to your classes. So it is Vision Sunday, and so that means we get to look back at everything that we got to accomplish together in 2025. And you're going to see that as we go through this, that there's a lot more things than we even realize from the outside looking in. And even when we're on the inside putting it together, we look and think, man, we got to do a lot together in 2025. And so one of the first things that we get to look at is the elders. And so with our monthly meetings, we had our weekly prayer as well. We went through the Revival Starts Here book that we ended up doing a sermon series on. From our benevolence fund, we got to spend over $3,000 for people in the church here, plus a bunch more at the beginning of January that we'll celebrate Vision Sunday in 2027, I guess, for 2026. And then you'll see that we also have four new members that were interviewed by the elders and putting before you. So Steve and Paula Doland, Hannah Kenyon, and Patty Murkowski, as we mentioned during the announcements. But so these are the new members for this year. So membership, if it's something that you're ever interested in, you can go through one of our classes that we'll be offering coming up here in a couple months to sort of hear more about what the church is, what we want to accomplish, our role with the denomination. But then also it's members who get to vote in our congregational meetings as well. And so these people have decided to make a commitment with us that we will care for them, they'll care for the church, and all of those things. So we get to celebrate that. We'll celebrate that together on Sunday in 2 weeks, and we'll invite them up. We'll pray over them as a church as well. Throughout the year, we incorporated a bunch of prayer and fasting into a bunch of things. And so with that, we did our Jumpstart prayer, which is in the prayer room every Sunday morning. You can go in anytime. The elders pray every Thursday at 6:30 a.m. We've done our 2 months collectively together, a 1-2-3 month of prayer, where we pray for 1 month for two people at 3 o'clock. We distributed more copies of When the People Pray, so it's people praying for the church, for the pastor, and those things as well. You'll see that the worship team, we've been challenged and we've been growing and adding fasting to our Sunday mornings as well on behalf of the service. Our Fall Monday class, when we were doing the discipline of fasting, you saw that we took some time then to fast during the week, to create it a habit even in our own lives to begin to pray and fast for the church as a whole. We went through the sermon series of Revival Starts Here, and then we see that 15 families purchased a copy of Revival Starts Here to take home and start to incorporate in their own daily lives as well. So from the elders to the new members in the prayer and fasting, you'll see this foundation that we've started to build, and we'll be building upon even more a bit later in the sermon, but you'll see that that is definitely something that is going to be beneficial to where we are going. We started to see a bunch of different fruits and a bunch of all the things that we started to do as we started to take care of the foundation here between the elders, myself, and incorporating the prayer and fasting into it. Through that, we see it through our community and local outreach with the Perry Fall Festival. We had over 200 families come through our booth, so they were able to receive a visitor bag that has the books of Mark and John, just gospels about it. It has all of our church information. They would fill out Connect cards, and we would give away even Walmart gift cards to them. So over 200 families came through and got to hear who North Star is, got to see what we want to accomplish, and we were able to give back there. We partner with the Perry Center and the Salvation Army. And so if you don't know, Rory Roberts attends the quarterly board meetings for us on our behalf. So thank you, Roy. And so he'll report back things that they need, ways that we can get involved, or he'll come back and be like, hey, so they were doing the Christmas meal sign up. Here's what we're bringing this year. And then what we see also for the weekly food pantry, Junior, who also helps us with slides every Sunday, goes there weekly to help out with that as well. So if that's something you're interested in, let us know and we can get you partnered with the Perry Center as well. We donated Easter egg baskets for teens as well, for the Perry Center as well. On top of that, we helped with the Christmas dinner boxes. That's where we collected all of that syrup, brought it over, where April Colucci put together for us the Amazon wish list. We were able to provide Christmas for 8 kids, which is a culmination of over 50 gifts as well. And then we rang the bell at the Perry IGA for 2 days for the Salvation Army. So even just from the Perry Center alone and the Salvation Army, I just want to thank you. Your generosity makes it possible to be able to partner with them in all of these different areas of things that we want to do, where we get to help kids have Christmas, where we can have them celebrate Christmas meals. We can help with the Easter egg baskets, the Salvation Army. So thank you for your generosity in allowing us to be a church that partners with the community. With that, we also see through the Perry Elementary Schools PTA, they have a Meet the Teacher open house night. We're the only religious group that they give a table to. They reach out to us every year, said, you bring in a table, and you said, you bet. So we get to pass out all of our information. We get to pass out candy to all of the kids that come to our table. So it's really cool that they see us as just a positive influence that they want there, that the kids could get to know as well. So we had volunteers there. And then we had some volunteers that spent the week at the Santa shop. So helping all of the kids, helping them buy their gifts for their families and getting to just meet some of the students that way. So we see that the schools are helping us also when they'll send out our flyers. So we're starting to also build relationships, not just with the community, but also with the Perry schools as well. Now, one of my other favorite things that we get to celebrate from working with the Perry Center is our Serve Week. You'll be hearing about that in about a month, where the team's going to be talking about this past one, but then also what's coming up as well. And so for our Serve Week, there was 21 different people from our church that served in the Serve Week, and we got to serve 13 different families all over Perry and Madison with a wide range of things. And the team raised over $10,000 to make sure that we covered all of the costs for what we were going to do for the community. So again, your generosity in serving and money makes it possible for us to be a light in the community. So with that, for the community and local outreach, on top of the foundation now that we've built with the elders and the prayer and the fasting, how we're building that upon then going out into the community and partnering things with our generosity, what we got to do in-house for families was that we got to have our Palm Sunday egg hunt. We got to do a spring family event, which was our amazing race. We got to do our Christmas storybook walk. We got to bring back VBS. We got to do the fall kids program on the Monday evenings, and then we even got to send home the family devotional and discipleship books at Christmas time as well. So again, this requires your time and effort into going leading these things to be able to volunteer and help at. So all of these things that we get to start to accomplish as a church is possible because of all of you stepping up. We also see that we got to do a weekly youth group with lessons, games, and the fellowship and hanging out. They got to do a summer youth retreat weekend, and they got to go to youth winter jam concert trip. So again, all of these possible by people stepping up and wanting to help and get involved. So we see then also from the church family side of things, so we looked at the family, then we looked at the youth, and now just the families in general, we see that there was monthly Sunday brunches. We did our pancake breakfast every first Sunday of the month. We see that men and women both had 2 fellowship gatherings. 12 women got to attend the denominational Women's Fall Retreat in Sugar Creek. And then we also got to have 12 fellowship dinners through our Monday deep dive on the sermon series, Growing with God, where we got to look at these disciplines. So we as a church build the foundation. We get to serve the community and the schools. We get to serve the kids and the families. And then we also get to spend time in fellowship together. We also see that we got to dive into the Word together through our Bible study and our discipleship. Through our Wednesdays, from January through December, we've been going through Mark, and we're still going through Mark. So we've been taking a deep dive in learning how to start to look at the gospel according to Mark, how to take some of this stuff home and apply it to our daily lives, but also how to start to read the Bible and things that we can look for even at home. Growing with God, the Mondays, we got to do a deeper dive into the disciplines, and we'll be doing that again with our sermon series, James, coming up. Our emotionally healthy spirituality, we had 6 people go through. And our emotionally healthy relationships, we had 16 people go through. And then one of my favorite things, and we'll be showing this in the next slide here in just a second, but we did 52 weekly church devotions. And so what this is AB will go through with the sermon. And so sometimes it's 1 if it's 5 to 6 days, sometimes it's 2 if they're both 2 to 3 to 4 days long. But so we go through, and through the YouVersion Bible app, we can go through programs and devotionals together where we can read them together, we can see who does them, who's doing them, and at the end it even has a comment section where we could talk to people about it. And so we had that every year, and so then YouVersion let us know that together as a church, we spent 5,205 days in the Word together. So that's how many times different people went into those devotionals, followed along, and opened up the Bible together. So for me, that's really cool as we're starting to see, as we build the foundation, everything else that's flowing out of it, but culminates here with people diving into the Word together. We also got to experience 4 baptisms together at our summer picnic. And so the update on that is, so what we're going to do, if you are interested in getting baptized, I've had plenty of people reach out to me. So what we're going to do, our next baptism Sunday is going to be Easter Sunday. So if you're interested in getting baptized, we're going to have a baptism class. We'll get you the date on what that's going to be, but it'll be in March, towards the end of March. And then we'll be preparing for that with Easter baptism. So if you or someone that you know that goes here is interested in getting baptized, reach out to me. We'll make sure that you get signed up for that class and when that class is, and we will celebrate on Easter together. From the staff side of things, throughout this year, I've been asked to be on the church health board team for the denomination. So that's been a cool opportunity just for me. And then from Pastor Amy, she was finishing her practical ministry certificate through Malone University. She finished that in July. And then her recording of ordination became completed. And so now she's Pastor Amy, and she loves when you call her that. So if you see her, make sure you say, "Hello, Pastor Amy." Through building our foundation, through the generosity with which we poured into the community and everything else, we watched a generous God do generous God things through us for this church. So last year, our storehouse, what we brought in, increased by $27,000 this year. So as a church, we brought in, through our tithes and offerings together, $27,000 more through that. We finished the year after benevolence and giving out to different families and giving back to you guys as well to be able to help with Christmas. We finished the year with a surplus of $7,100. So that means, if you've ever watched It's a Wonderful Life, we have a lot of mama and papa dollars left over for the year. So thank you for your generosity in that. On top of that, from our Christmas offering and some of the money, the extra money that we've moved around, we have $8,000 in our benevolence fund to give back to people that's already started going out in ample amounts to be able to help people with some of the things and the costs they've had, just things that they need and can't afford. So you'll be hearing about that as well. So we have $8,000 in benevolence on top of the $7,000 surplus. And then on top of that, we raised $40,000 together this year for our capital campaign. So all in all, with the end of year surplus, so the increase in the storehouse and the capital, we raised an extra $67,000 together this year. So with that being said, some of the things that we got to do is we got to upgrade the lighting, the camera, and the live stream upgrades. We also had a fire panel cost pop up, which was a couple $1,000s as well. So it went towards that. And then actually, if you decide to look out back, if you want, we got to buy one of our new HVAC units. And so he gave us actually a significantly better price than what they gave us a year ago. So we have that ready to go in here this week, actually. And And so with that, so thank you, thank you, thank you. We're seeing that as leadership, as we trust God, you guys are trusting God, and as a result, God is pouring his blessings back out in abundance for us. And so we are starting to see so many areas of growth in the church that is worthy of so much celebration. So I just want to give you guys a collective hand for everything that we got to accomplish this year, because this isn't something that I do. This isn't something that Pastor Amy does by ourselves. It's because of you and your generosity for God, for his church, and for his people. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Because when you look at it and think just Sunday morning, you don't realize how much goes into everything else. But we're seeing God bless us in so many ways. So through 2025, that leads us into where we're going in 2026. I'm getting rid of all of these now because it's just going to bother me. But so 2025, one thing that I learned through my leadership is that this is so much more serious than we could have ever thought or imagined. As we get into the business side of things with the church, is that so many churches fall into this trap of getting people into the seats that they miss the end goal of churches, that's getting people into heaven. So with that, for 2026, we're taking steps up. And it starts with me. I learned this through emotionally healthy relationships. I learned this through my coaching, through talking to other people. That there's going to be bars that start to be raised that it might feel weird and uncomfortable coming from me at first. I am joking. I am lighthearted. I'm gracious. I'm empathetic for you. But what we're going to start to see is that, unfortunately, that attitude is what gets people into seats. It's not the attitude that gets people into heaven. 63 to 83% of Christians make a decision between the ages of 4 and 14. Life-changing, eternity decisions are being made in those classrooms right out there, right now. However, this is not something that is decided and done with 30 minutes a week. So this is my plea to you as families, to you as Sunday school teachers, to you as those who interact with the kids here now. Walk a walk that is worthy of leading people to Jesus. If you don't know how to spend time with Jesus, your kids aren't going to know how to because of 30 minutes in a classroom. If you don't know how to read your Bible and pray, they aren't going to learn that in 30 minutes a week in a classroom. We as a church want to help you with that. We want to do that because this isn't just shaping their lives, this is shaping their eternities. 72 to 97% of Christians decide before the age of 18. So with that being said, our vision stays the same, that families will be transformed into disciples of Jesus. The church is going to be filled with families being transformed into disciples of Jesus. It doesn't matter the size of your family. It doesn't matter the age of your family. You could be coming here alone. You classify as a family. We have no other descriptions. The only description is that the church is going to be filled, and it's going to be filled with people being transformed into disciples of Jesus. That's it. That is our vision right there. That as we do that, we're going to start to see how it's going to start to change and shape the next generation here through North Star Church. To do that, we must raise the bar. And so for that, ministry leaders, elders, staff, church members, and guests, there's three things that you will need to be this year. You're going to have to be accountable, reliable, and a team player. So to be accountable, you are most importantly, first and foremost, accountable to God. To be a ministry leader, an elder, a staff here, and eventually a church member and a guest, our desire is that you are going to walk with God. You will be reading your Bible throughout the week. You're going to be praying. If you want to incorporate fasting, I don't tell you this to scare you. I tell you this because it's going to change your life. Encounter anyone who's implemented these disciplines in their life, and they will tell you that their life has changed for the better. There's not a single person who will be like, you know what, I really dove into my relationship with Jesus, and I really regretted it. No, they experienced change in their life that brought about a ton of positivity. So you're going to be accountable for to God and your walk with God, but also for the decisions that you make in your life, but also for the decisions that you make for your ministry. Because your ministry has to be reflective of Jesus Christ. The best way to tell if your ministry is reflective of Jesus Christ, that people in your ministries are experiencing Jesus Christ and walking with him. So if you want to know if your kids are going to be walking with Jesus, it starts with if their teachers are, but more importantly, it starts with if you are at home. If you want to know if your youth are walking with Jesus, it's going to start with Joe with the other leaders, but then also if you're doing it at home. If women's fellowship and men's fellowship, it's going to start with the leaders of that. If the worship is going to lead people into presence, it starts with the worship team stepping up and implementing the disciplines into their lives. So we're going to be accountable for our walk with God, but also our ministry. We're going to be reliable. The definition of reliable, when I looked it up, is we're consistently good in quality and performance. We're raising the bar in all aspects of that. We're going to be the church that thrives in all of these areas of wanting to do the best that we can. Because if that's someone's only encounter with God through their one time coming to some ministry event that we do, it better be the best representation of Jesus in all aspects of it. And lastly, you're going to be a team player. Because the team player, the God that I serve and the God that I follow, is a God of unity. When I am talking and conversing with someone else that I know is praying and fasting, the unity with which things happen, it just happens. I'll tell you this right now before she even comes up here. Laura Pike, nominating team. I had the team pray, fast about it. Guess what? 3-minute meeting. Came back, one name from everybody. Laura Pike, Laura Pike, Laura Pike. Ask anyone on the team. 3 minutes. Through prayer and fasting. Wasn't anything that we coerced or anything like that. You want to talk about the spirit of unity? It's people walking with God and implementing the disciplines in their lives. So learning and trusting the other people who are also walking with God. So if you are an elder, a ministry lead, or a staff member, the one thing that I've learned that I'm not good at through emotionally healthy relationships is expectations. Expectations are timely. They are also then communicated and agreed upon. So tomorrow you're going to be getting an expectation email from me about the expectations that I have for you. You will have 1 week, 2 weeks, to determine if you want to agree to those expectations, and that will be your way of telling me that you agree with them. So if not, it's going to involve that you will be walking with God. We're going to set up accountability ways to make sure that we are, because what we've seen all throughout the Bible, the nations of God that thrive are the ones who run with him. The ones who run away from him face destruction. We're not going to be a church of destruction. So tomorrow you're going to be receiving an email from me about who we need our ministry leaders, staff, and elders to be, and you will have a decision if that is going to be something that you want to partake in, because we're going to be raising the bar here as a church. What we're going to be focusing on this year is one simple thing. It is solidifying our foundation, and our foundation is going to be prayer. In Colossians 4:2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray continually. In Romans 12:12, it says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. In Luke 18, it says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray. So even when we look at these four right here, it says that we have to devote ourselves to prayer. We have to pray continually. We have to be faithful in prayer, and that they should always pray. And so Jesus taught these parables that they should always pray. In Acts 2:42, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. And therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Acts tells us to be devoted to prayer. Psalms tells us that the Lord is near to those who call out to him. And Mark 11 says that whatever we ask for in prayer, believe that we've received it, and it will be ours. All throughout the Bible, through these seven verses, we see that there is a call to be devoted to prayer, and so our church is going to be devoted to prayer. God is going to be the foundation, the leader, and the one who gets all the glory, praise, and honor, but that can only be done if the church is praying. I can't be the only one praying. The elders can't be the only ones praying. The ministry leaders can't be the only ones praying. This is upon the families to even be praying at home. When was the last time we even thought about praying for a church at home? Praying for our church, praying that, you know what, Lord, at North Star Church, will that church be filled with families being transformed into disciples of Jesus? Because listen to me, this is what our true heart is going to be through the prayer this year. We said that 63 to 83% of Christians make that decision to become Christians in their early childhood. That's 63 to 83% of Christians. And that's cool. But that's of the Christians who say it. 32% of kids become a believer. 14% becomes a youth, or becomes a believer in their youth. If you ever hear a church settle for 63 to 83% of kids becoming believers, that is not your church. Our church is going to be devoted to the fact that we believe wholeheartedly through prayer and fasting that every kid who walks through that door will become a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you settle for anything less, this is not the church for you. I'm sorry. If you don't want to pray at home, this isn't the church for you. There's plenty of churches that want to fill seats. You can go. This is a church that's going to fill heaven, and we'd love to have you. So if you want to buy into the vision that the church will be filled with families being transformed into disciples of Jesus, it starts with you at home raising up people who want to pour into the next generation. People at home who want to pray for the next generation. People at home who say, you know what, I can skip one meal a week if it means that that church is going to become that much closer to obtaining the goal that 100% of kids walking through that door will know who Jesus is and will become a disciple of him. Now listen, I want you to know, don't get it confused. If 50% of those kids who walk through that door become disciples of Jesus, we're going to celebrate. But we're not going to get comfortable. And if we get 100% kids, we're going to celebrate, but we're not going to get comfortable. This isn't a goal that's ever going to stop. If the goal stops, then the church stops when we die out. That's not what a church is created to be. That's not what a church is for. Our church has to always consistently be about raising up the next generation. So I need you to join me in praying for the next generation, that the church will be filled with families being transformed into disciples of Jesus. Because the Bible tells us to continue steadfast in prayer, to pray without ceasing, to be constant in prayer, the parables to not stop praying, to be devoted to the prayer, that the Lord is near to all those who call on him. And if we pray and believe it, the Lord's going to give it to us. And listen, the Lord raised our income through Capital and Storehouse by 67,000. If you look at the numbers, our attendance did not increase. It stayed the same. But if we look at who's here compared to where it is last year, drastically different. If we look at who we were even a year ago to where we are now, drastically different. It's not that our attendance grew. We grew in our generosity and our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. If he can do that financially, you don't think he wants to do that spiritually in the kids in this church? So how do we pray then, okay? So if I'm challenging you to pray, I should teach you how to pray. I have been. Every single prayer time that we've done for the last well over a year is how you're to pray. It starts with praise through the tabernacle. The praise is the gate. If you try to enter into conversation with God any other way than starting with praise, you're a robber. That's what the Bible tells us. So for us in our prayer time, it just starts with simply praising God. One of my favorite things to do at home, I just did it with my dear friend Rowan this week. Just ask your kids, what's one thing you know about God? Well, and she said, I can always talk to him. So our prayer time that day, dear Lord, we praise you that you are a God who always lets us talk to you. It's that simple. Then we move to the altar. That's the forgiveness. We have to be cleansed. We have to be sanctified to enter into his presence. We can't be in his presence we can't be outside of his presence and make requests. So the gate is we just simply praise God, and then we ask just for forgiveness. Lord, we thank you that you forgive our sins, and then we can move to our requests. Our requests for the church are going to be the vision that the church will be filled with families being transformed into disciples of Jesus. You can pray for church leaders. You can pray for church members and attenders as they come to mind. You can pray for the Sunday school teachers and the kids, the youth group leaders and kids. Phenomenal catch, Pastor Amy. I only wrote Sunday school teachers and kids in here, and she added youth group leaders and kids, and that makes me look really good. So thank you. That's a great catch. But our requests, imagine if we as a church started to just simply pray for the church at home, to raise up a next generation that starts to pray for the church. Fasting that can accompany the prayer. Because fasting denies our human desires and it puts our heart and our mindset into what God wants for us. It's showing God, this is what we want, Lord. We believe it. We can deny the flesh so that way we can receive what we want, and that is that the church will be filled with families being transformed into disciples of Jesus. It aligns us with the will of God and what he desires us to seek from him. Fasting is what's going to bring about the unity within the church, what's going to set us apart. In Colossians 3, it says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. That's our goal through the fasting and the prayer. So here's how we did prayer in 2025. We did our 1-2-3 month twice. What we need to do with that, we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. We did our elders' weekly prayer. We did our jumpstart prayer. We see then when the people pray was passed through. We see that the worship team started their prayer and fasting on Sunday mornings. And then fasting and prayer from the Monday group as well with our sermon series and the 15 families that bought that. Here's how we're going to start to do prayer in 2026 as a church. We're going to continue our 1-2-3 months. What we'll probably do is we've been doing them around Easter and Christmas. We'll probably add a third or a fourth because this has to be at the forefront. At the forefront of all of our prayers is praying for those who are lost. We can't sit idly by and hope someone else is going to enter into their life and teach them about Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We have to start to take the initiative to start to pray for opportunities for them. So that has to be at the forefront of who we are as disciples of Jesus Christ. What we're also going to continue to do then is that the jumpstart prayer is going to be for all ministry leaders. That is going to be in the expectation email tomorrow. All ministry leaders will be a part of jumpstart prayer. Jumpstart prayer is in the prayer room anytime from 9 o'clock up until service starts. What we're going to do in there is we're going to have prayer guidelines throughout the room. It's going to just simply have a verse for the gate, a verse for the altar, and some request for that Sunday. It'll probably stay the same for a couple weeks, and then we'll change it out. But you have all of the instructions in there. You can take your kids in there. You can bring them in at any time. You can join the worship team. The worship team set up every Sunday at 9:30 in there. You can join us anytime. The ministries on Sunday mornings are also going to be starting to meet to pray. The greeting team, the teachers, any other part, so Pancake Sunday, the pancake team will be praying. We are going to implement prayer from a standpoint for all ministries and ministry leaders before service on Sunday morning. I'm going to invite future elder Laura Pike up. And so one thing that we're also going to be incorporating is something that we've got to watch as the worship team has gotten to watch her do faithfully for years now. So what is one thing that you do every Sunday morning that you're here?
I come in early, and I go generally over there, and I go to my knees and I pray. And that is a reflection of a sermon that I heard 30 years ago. And the pastor said, why is there no one over here praying for this service? Why is there no one beseeching the Lord? Why is no one the watchman on the tower? And it struck a chord in me. And so I started that routine that I have pretty religiously carried out. Not religiously in the sense of a duty, but religiously in the sense that God impacts my heart and gets me excited for Sunday. And I'm always praying for the congregation, but there are times when the worship team, that when they start something and it strikes my heart and I just get up and I start meandering and just singing over y'all and dancing over y'all and going to the mat for you, because first, it's my belief that unless the Lord builds the temple, the laborers work in vain. And so that's my vision. My goal is to encourage every one of you to love on you all how you need to be loved on, and to encourage you. And I will be your greatest encourager. Now, when he says, let's do this, Let me know. Yesterday we got that little newsletter, and there was James study Monday night in the winter after dark, and my spirit went, ew, I don't like that. And this happens repeatedly in my case, okay, repeatedly, and yet I struggle through, and then the Lord blesses it. And he's changed me and grown me up because the Holy Spirit puts an idea in his head that he then expresses to us. And then just something about it. I got to do it. I got to try. I don't want to live in a dead church. I want to live in a church that's excited to show up and to see all the things that God's going to do. And I'm going to run out because I have to be at Playhouse Square at 1 o'clock. And it's getting timely, folks. I got to go to Chardon first. Do you have a question?
No, that's all. You can go.
Sure?
Yeah. Enjoy your play. So with that being said, the thing that we're going to continue to implement, I've implemented in my own personal self the last couple of months. I've challenged the worship team and watched a couple of them doing it this morning. We're going to start to also pray over every single chair. I just walk the entire sanctuary now every Sunday morning when worship's done. We'll have worship music playing. We're going to have slides up on both monitors with instructions of what you can pray for. I just simply pray for the vision of the church, that it would be filled with families being transformed into disciples of Jesus. I pray over every seat that they would experience Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If I know who relatively sits there, I start to pray for them. I'll pray for the service of what I know I'm going to be speaking on or the name that we'll be praying about, and that you guys would get to experience them or experience God as that person in that name and that attribute as well. So that is going to be my challenge to you, that we are a church who begins to pray over the service as well. So anytime from 9 to 9:40, that slide will also be then in the rotation of all the announcement slides that start at 9:40. So if you come in at 9:50 and you see it, you can sit in your seat and just start to pray for your section. You can walk around. It doesn't matter. But if you see people walking around, that means that they're probably praying. So we're going to be making that an expectation as well for people to start to show up early on Sunday mornings to begin to pray for the service as well. People can walk through the Sunday school classrooms and start to pray for the teachers and the kids that are going to be in those classes. You can walk through the fellowship hall and start to pray for the conversations that are going to be happening over there. I challenge you on a Sunday morning to just give up breakfast, coffee, whatever it is, and start to fast and pray for Sunday morning. As we've implemented this in the worship team, I think we can all agree and attest to the fact that something is changing in our worship, in the messages, and the Spirit moving in our services. I don't think there's any coincidence other than the fact that we've implemented prayer and fasting and made it the central focus of who we want to be as leaders for each and every one of you. When we look at it, I want to put up that last slide now. What I want you to do is I want you to scan this QR code. We want to invite you right now to join us in our YouVersion devotionals. This is a way for you to be able to read the Bible at home. It's a great way to be able to do it as a family. The best part about it that I love, you can set what time it sends you a reminder. So when I did the first one, I think I did it at like 10:01 a.m. It was like, do you want a reminder? So every day now at 10:01, I get a reminder of do the devotional plan with North Star Church. So each week then, you'll get an invite. It'll say Amy Hamill has invited you through North Star Church to read, and it's going to match my sermon, whatever the sermon is that week. And so then you get to go through it as a family together. It'll take you through a little reading part, and then it has some scriptures, and then you can write how God was speaking to you that day in it, and you can see what other people are saying as well. So it's a great way for you to get involved with starting to simply read a devotional and creating some habits that are going to start to create disciples of Jesus who are accountable, reliable, and team players. That as we start to build up these habits as a church, we're going to start to watch the walls break down in our lives. We're going to start to see emotionally healthy spirituality and relationships start to dictate who we are and where we're going and how that's going to change things. But most importantly, after we do the devotional, we're going to start to pray. We're going to just simply start to pray as families, as individuals, for the church, for the service coming up, and that's what we're going to do. What time is it? 11:09? Who let me talk that long? I'm just kidding. So here's what we're going to do before Laura has to go to Playhouse. Here's how we're going to close service. I know, there's more. What are you going to do? Tell me to stop? I got the microphone. Not you. Anyone else. That was you excluded. So what we're going to do, here's what I want. I want 3 to 4 people. You get 1 minute. 1 minute. If they pass 1 minute, you can start booing them, okay? Don't actually. I want 3 to 4 people. I want you to just share how you grew in your walk with God as a result of North Star in 2025. It doesn't matter if you came for a month. It doesn't matter if you came on and off. It doesn't matter if you came the whole year. It could be about emotionally healthy spirituality, relationships. It could be your Wednesdays. It could be through the service. It could be challenging conversations at home. Just 3 to 4 people to share how you grew in your walk with God as a result of North Star Church this year.
Hi, I'm Jenna Broman. I just wanted to say that North Star, with us putting names on the crosses, really brought a blessing for me. I've been praying for my husband for over a year to come to the church, to come to know the Lord. I didn't specify the church, but I did specify that I did want him to know the Lord. Come to say that he is going to church. He wants to become a member, and he is going to be a server. He is also going to be doing community dinners at the church. This is my last Sunday, but I will be here on Wednesdays and whenever Amy needs me. But thanks to North Star, I mean, it wouldn't have happened without North Star. So thank you.
Absolutely.
I'm Hootie. I've grown through taking all the classes, emotional healthy relationships, emotional healthy spirituality. I am sort of addicted to them. I take them every time they're offered.
They also help break addictions too, by the way. Just
and you can take them again and become a table eater, all kinds of stuff. So they're really great. And then the 1-2-3 month also it's right there. Half of them are right there. So I'm just so blessed, and my prayer life has been better. Everything's been better. This church changed my life completely.
I'm going to try to make this as quickly as possible, but I just want to say that a year ago, Easter Sunday, I was in my apartment alone, and that day is the day I decided to give my life to Jesus. Here we are now, back in Ohio, and Travis and I had tried out a few different churches that just weren't for us, and Hootie goes, come to North Star, come to North Star, come to North Star. And so we did, and I will say that we have been welcomed with open arms. And Laura, she left, but her lovely smile. And I'm just so grateful to be here, and now I'm getting baptized. So thank you, guys.
One more. I was actually going to hand it to you before you even asked. I knew.
Me already, don't you? Hey, listen, this man here, all of you folks here have been wonderful. I was like Nick said, you know, I was a young man, and when I went to church with my family, my parents took us to church every week, Baptist church, don't shoot me. But, you know, I accepted Christ as my Savior when I was just a young boy. And of course, you know it, but you don't always follow, you know, and you drift away. And this guy says, I'm going to challenge you. I want you to read your Bible every day and see if it makes a difference in your life. It does. I try to read it every day, not skip. It's been almost a year now. It's wonderful. And it's going to get better. I'm just getting started, I think. And I want you all to know that that's been great for me. My life is absolutely changing daily. So I think God wants me to do something. I'm not sure what it is yet. We'll figure it out. And one day at a time. But thank you all.
If you don't read your Bible, if you don't pray, start with one day, right? If you don't work out, you don't go to the gym, you're not just starting off 7 days a week, okay? So the same way with spiritual growth, just start with one day. Do that for a couple weeks, move up to 2 days. Work your way up to it. Watch how habits start to change. For me, I've grown as a result of all of you. Your generosity, who you are as people, how you love Sarah and I makes it very easy to be a leader who wants to continually grow to be the best leader that he can be for each and every one of you. So your generosity, your love, and your faith and worship of God makes it very easy to be a pastor of this church, and I'm honored to hold that title, and 2025 taught me that. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the Lord who sanctifies. You are the one who allows us into your presence. In your presence is where visions are found, where dreams are found. Lord, we had this dream that 100% of kids who walk through that door would become believers of Jesus Christ, disciples of Jesus Christ. Lord, we come to you fasting, praying, and fully believing that you are the God who can do that, a goal so big that it has to involve you. So we thank you. We love you, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. As you go this week, we would love to see you Wednesdays at 10 a.m. or 6 p.m., our study of Mark. And then we will see you again next week. So have a great week.